It feels more like ordinary time today, even though ordinary time resumed after evening prayer on Pentecost a couple of weeks ago. But then we celebrated the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity the following Sunday, and the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi, last week. So what's the point about ordinary time? Is it just the leftover days outside of Lenten, Easter, Advent, and Christmas seasons? Is it called ordinary because there's nothing special about it? In today's gospel, Jesus helps us understand that what meaning ordinary time can have for all of us. Let's consider the passage from Mark. In it, Jesus is helping the 12 apostles and other disciples to begin to attempt to understand the inexplicable, the kingdom of God. We have to consider what's happening here. How can mere words explain such a profound divine mystery? Jesus uses parables or word pictures that employ everyday situations that they had all encountered. In the first example, Jesus said a sower went out to scatter seed. Days passed, and the seed sprouted, and small blades poked above the earth. That is to say, the farmer did his job and then went on with his day-to-day realities, while the mystery of life emerged in his garden outside of his control. Even today, when we have a much greater understanding of the mysteries of God's creation, the sprouting seed is still something of an unknown. Perhaps we've experienced that minor miracle in our own lives. My raised-on-a-farm mother shattered all kinds of child labor laws when my sisters and I were growing up. We tilled a fairly good-sized vegetable garden in the days when a tiller was a spade, a hoe, and a rake. We planted beans, carrots, onions, beets, radishes, and at least 100, it seemed to me, other things. And we weeded vegetable gardens and flower beds, and we picked strawberries and sour cherries and sweet cherries and peaches and plums and apples, and it seemed to me at least another 100 things. We lived the spring, the summer, and the fall. Two, as my mother would say, put up all the produce of the season to hold us over the winter. She didn't feel comfortable unless we had a full freezer and at least 1,000 jars in the pantry. Even now, some 50, 60 years later, I still watch the progress of wheat, corn, and soybeans every week when I drive up Lansing Avenue to Leslie on my way home after Mass. Like the disciples, we can apply our experiences to our understanding of the parables. Just like Jesus' sower, we or the farmer prepares the ground, sows the crop, and we wait. The seed comes to life when God wills, and not a moment sooner. The crop matures and ripens at the appointed time, and not a moment sooner. The metaphor helps us on our understanding of ordinary time, because we truly are planting and watching, waiting, and coming to spiritual maturity. There are two parables in this gospel. The second asks us to consider mustard seeds. Jesus exaggerates for effect when he calls the smallest seed, calls it the smallest seed, although radish seeds are smaller, let me tell you, and that it produces the largest plant, another bit of hyperbole. But the meaning is clear. The seed is sown and mysteriously grows to maturity, and there's another dimension. The developed plant produces shelter for the birds of the sky. The kingdom of God is not for each of us alone. We mature in our faith to also meet the needs of others around us and to help bring them with God's grace and aid to faith, belief, and an encounter with Jesus. Throughout this fourth chapter of Mark, the multitude and the apostles and the other disciples are warned not to be like those who have ears to hear, but don't. We need to pay attention. That verb to hear is used 13 times in this chapter alone. It's like telling us to listen up. Those who hear are the people who listen with an open heart and mind and a readiness to put the teaching into practice. The kingdom of God is planted, and we are some of the seed. We sprout because of faith. Our seedlings emerge from the dirt through repentance. We grow to maturity through the sacraments and the study of sacred scripture and learning church teaching and becoming to understand it. That is not to say that we are in control. God is. We've all heard it. God is God, we are not. But that does not mean God is distant. Just as Jesus walked with the lost, the broken, the confused, the suffering, the wondering, the wandering, he walks with us. If we ask, he will open our ears and hearts and help us understand. In the diaconal ordinational rite, the newly ordained deacon goes up to the bishop, kneels before him, and the bishop handed me and each one of my brother baby deacons a book of a gospel. And he said, "Receive the gospel of Christ, whose herald you have become. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach." And each of us individually kneeling before the bishop said, "Amen." That directive, it seems to me, applies to all of us. Each week, we receive the gospel and we read scripture at home. We should believe what we read. We should share what we read. We should practice what we believe. I replied amen at that time. For all of us. Can I get an amen?